Great. So hello, and we're here with Radio Cavalli today, this is Centuria, and today we're talking with Amy Miller from Wide Open Exposure. So hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
And so I was wondering, you've just had this new film that's coming out called The Carbon Rush, and it talks about sort of carbon offsetting, carbon credits and things, and it takes us sort of around the world to meet people who are most impacted by what's going on with this. But without giving away the ending, can you tell us a bit about the film and carbon offsetting and why you chose to make this film?
Sure. The Carbon Rush is a global expose looking at the carbon offset projects that exist around the world and really trying to see what are the impacts on the communities that are directly at these projects. So how does it actually affect the people? Because for your listeners who may not be aware, but the carbon market, essentially what it is, it's this idea where, you know, polluters don't need to stop polluting at home. What they can do is they can buy carbon credits that are used in projects that have been deemed to reduce carbon emissions elsewhere. And so that idea that someone in the global south, in Brazil, in India, that there's projects there that are reducing carbon emissions, and so companies from the global north can buy these carbon credits to support these projects so that their pollution can continue. And so what's often missing, what's mainly missing from this analysis is looking at, well, what happens to the people on the ground there. And so in the film, we go from Brazil to India to Panama and Honduras, and we look at six different projects, and everything from monocrop eucalyptus plantations to large-scale windmill projects to hydroelectric dams, and we're really looking at incinerator projects, really big carbon offset projects that make up the bulk of what makes up the carbon offset market, and see how it impacts people on the ground.
What are some of the trends that you're sort of finding when you've been sort of going out and speaking to people about how these projects are affecting their lives?
Well, one of the main, themes that come up throughout the film is that essentially carbon markets can also be understood as one large land grab. Because what's happening is that you have lands that belong to indigenous people, where people had been living for, you know, generations on generations, whether it be farming, subsistence farming, or just basic subsistence living. And all of a sudden, without their consent, without their acknowledgement or inclusion, they find out that the land has been sold and converted to either a huge conservation project or that some sort of project would come and use this land, all in the name of green energy, reducing carbon emissions. So they're not sovereign over their own land, and often their basic way of life has to shift considerably to accommodate these projects. So in areas, you know, in Brazil where you'd have cattle farming and subsistence farming, well, all of a sudden, you know, with the implementation of large-scale monocrop eucalyptus plantations, that farming can no longer operate because the chemicals and the fertilizer that's used in the eucalyptus has completely destroyed the water. It's not unique, this idea that as soon as you start having projects and corporations that bring in hired guns to protect them, that there's also going to be violence. So that was another main trend that we saw, so the first one being is that people were no longer sovereign or in control of their own territory or land, and that the use of the land was being decided for them, others, in this profit-driven mechanism under the auspice of reducing carbon. But you also had, you know, increasing encroachment of so-called security brought in by these corporations, where they bring in the private security guards, which, you know, inevitably will lead to a violence in these communities where, you know, regular folks just trying to walk across the field or use what's now been designated as the company's land and having the guards confront them and, you know, someone getting hurt or someone getting killed. And that those kind of regular occurrences, that was something that we saw world over as well.
Wow, so it is definitely, while it's many different places, there's sort of very similar things happening to people all across the world.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing that's the most disturbing is that it's all done in this messaging that this is going to, you know, be good for the environment. This is the solution that the world's come up with, so we can, you know, be safe from, I guess, unmitigated climate change. And it's really not bringing in the main factor, which is the people on the ground and how it affects them. And it's because it's also starting at a premise that I think it's pretty self-evident. I think we can ask any, you know, elementary school student what they think when you say you have a finite planet with finite resources, but you can continue to operate in a global economic system that hinges on, you know, working on an infinite amount of resources and, you know, infinite growth. And this is the issue of capitalism. If we're going to try to look at real solutions to reduce climate change and climate chaos, then it has to be starting on a premise that acknowledges industrial capitalism as one of the base core tenets that's bringing about this problem, rather than seeing it as the solution.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense, definitely, especially to, I guess, our listeners of Radio Cabale and things. I think we've talked a lot about on Radio Cabale some of the hydraulic fracturing. We talked a lot about sort of Copenhagen and the counter conference that happened in Bolivia after the climate summit in Copenhagen and things like this about some of these issues and things. So, yes, it's quite great to have this movie come out to just be able to give people more information and sort of more, I don't like the word ammunition, but more help them fill out the argument a bit better as to why these things are problematic. And what I find sort of inspiring about at least the trailer that I've seen, because I haven't seen the full movie yet, but is the resistance from people around the world to what's going on, to capitalism, the destruction of Mother Earth and things, but also the sort of the independent media aspect of it and the fact that this film is getting sort of marginalized voices out there. So I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about how you go about doing that, how you got started, and what keeps you going with this kind of project.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been doing documentary now for 5 years, and I think it's not a unique story to say that documentary filmmaking is extremely challenging and difficult. It's certainly not an art medium that receives a lot of support, whether it be from the state institutions, and you, because of that, you know, it's a pretty narrow arena on how you can get the funds to be able to make a large scale production, and you know, it's nothing new to know that corporate media isn't really interested in having stories be told that challenges, I guess, what's in their interest or in their advertisers' interest. But, you know, there are ways sometimes to squeak through. And so the Carbon Rush, you know, managed to be produced and financed really through some loopholes that I managed to find myself in, where it managed to get some financing through a Quebec, you know, youth grant that I was allowed to apply for some government grants. And from there, I managed to get the broadcaster to get on board, because there are subsidies for broadcasters when they take on funding point of view documentaries. And so it's like a good deal on their end. And Super Channel, my broadcaster, was, you know, very open to the subject matter and willing to give it a shot. And, you know, I was really lucky with that, because they're a broadcaster that wants actually feature films, kind of like the Movie Network, but for Canada. And so I was really lucky, and I found myself in this incredible situation where I wasn't actually having any censorship for my broadcasters, and I had managed to get the financial backing that I needed to be able to actually go and film it around the world. And because my background is as a social justice organizer involved in social movements, I have connections and links to people on the ground around who are working on these issues, that are trying to bring about analysis and release campaigns to stop carbon offsets and to really kind of blow the roof off this idea that we can have capitalism be the solution when it's the problem. And so I found myself quite a few colleagues and a lot of affinity from different folks who were ready to help out and make sure that I could have access to people on the ground to talk to and hear their stories. And I think there was a lot of people that it became evident that the style of documentary I was trying to do was really give voice to people who are, you know, traditionally marginalized or aren't given space to speak for themselves, but rather have others speak for them. And so there was a lot of appreciation as well from the community itself. And building that trust and support really meant that I could do the kind of documentary that I wanted to see, which was, you know, giving the space to people directly impacted to tell their stories of how the carbon market's affecting them.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, it's wicked. And I saw sort of, I think, in one of the websites I was looking at, that there's another film called Resistencia that's sort of in the process of doing some fundraising and getting, it's sort of getting together the money and just sort of getting together the film basically for this, basically to tell the story of farmers in Honduras and their struggle for land and sort of taking over plantations after the coup. I think it was in 2009 in Honduras. So could you tell us a bit about what's going on with that? How are things going for them in making that movie?
Sure, it would be my pleasure. So Resistencia is a documentary that's being directed by Jesse Freestin and come on board as one of the producers. There's himself and, who are producing the film. And this is a documentary that's incredibly important because no one's done a documentary looking at what's been happening in Honduras since the coup d'etat in 2009. But more importantly, no one's been looking at the resistance movement, and there's been an incredibly strong resistance movement that's built up. Essentially, after the coup d'etat, there was a widespread national resistance that came about to try to reinstate the constitution and reinstate the president that had to flee in exile with the coup d'etat. And we saw various forms of direct action start taking place in Honduras, but one of the most exciting ones were the landless peasants who, in the Aguan Valley, which is one of the most fertile lands in the world, they started occupying literally hundreds of hectares of land. And it's been over 2 years now, and despite the tremendous violence that's ensued, there's been over 50 Latinos that have been murdered. There's been a lot of death threats, kidnapped and beatings, but they continue to persevere and remain strong in the whole occupation, saying that they need to have access to land and have the ability to farm. And so Resistencia really looks at their struggle and gives puts their voice center to hear what they decided to make those moves, what they're planning on doing, and how it's all come about. It's really kind of not just a historical look, but it's also really linked into struggles of today that are happening around the world.
Oh, it's wicked. That sounds great. So people are encouraged to check that out. Before we wrap up, we just have a couple minutes, and I was wondering just how people can get in touch with you, where can they go to watch the trailers, and what have happened if somebody here wants to see it and have a movie showing? How can that happen?
Sure. Well, they can contact me at my website at Wide Open Exposure, and there's all the contact information there. Regarding Resistencia, we're right now we've launched a campaign to finance the finishing of the film, and I'm really pleased that after 11 days, we've raised almost $11,000, and we have a goal of $10,000 to really make a solid, polished documentary to really be able to best tell the story of the Honduran resistance movement as possible. And so I would invite your listeners to check out resistenciathefilm.com, and that'll take them to the campaign where they can see the trailer and learn everything about what we're doing to finish the film. And with the Carbon Rush, I mean, you really just have to type it into Google and you'll be taken to the website. The people are invited to get in touch if they're interested in organizing screenings. We're hopefully going to be in Europe in the fall doing screenings. that would be wonderful if your listeners were interested in either Resistencia or the Carbon Rush.
Oh, it's fantastic. Well, thanks a lot for taking the time to speak to us today, and we look forward to checking that all out soon.
So much for having me.